how can I describe the favor of God? Wow, where do I start? Favor is when something good happens to you, mostly at unexpected times when you did absolutely nothing to deserve it. You did nothing to earn it whatsoever. It's like you get blessed and you can't work out why. You didn't particularly ask for it or anything, but good things keep happening to you for seemingly no apparent reason. And to be honest, really I see the favor of God as an unfair advantage that works for your benefit. For example, you may want to buy a property, for instance, and you go to the seller and only offer a certain amount. However, someone offers the same seller more money than you, but the seller decides to sell to you, even though it means less money for them, and they can't even work out why. They just feel impressed to do it. I'm sure right now you have two questions on your mind. One is probably, well, what else can God's favor do in my life? And the most pressing one is, how do I get the favor of God to work in my life? Well, these are questions I'm excited to tell you. I'm confident you will know the answers to in a very short few minutes. Now, let me start off with what else God's favor can do in your life. Favor can put you in the right place at the right time to meet the right person, which I can assure you will be the bridge over a long, tedious route to success in anything you endeavor to do. Favor can save time. Favor can do things in a moment that would take money years to accomplish. Favor can give you advantages that money can't give you. It's been said that one moment of favor is worth a lifetime of labor. Favor is when God impresses someone to solve a problem in your life without your earning it. One moment of favor really is worth a lifetime of labor. It is because of favor that Joseph went from prison to the palace in a day. Favor can speed things up for you. It can shorten the normal waiting period for something to happen. Favor makes a way out of no way. And God can even give you favor in the sight of your enemies. Favor can even cause your enemies to help you. Look how this happened for the Israelites when they were in Egyptian captivity. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, in other words, clothes, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Not only did God deliver the Israelites out of the captivity of the Egyptians, they left Egypt with all the Egyptians' wealth too. Favor is better than money, and it can do things that money can't do, and it can also bring you money. Now, God's favor is on your prayers. You will see in my testimony shortly what prayer can do in terms of favor for your life. One way to actually have favor is shocking to people. Well, some people, but it shouldn't be. It's what God asked us to do. And it's simple. You can actually ask for it. If you don't ask, you don't get. You have not because you ask not. But sometimes we ask and still don't receive because we are only asking so that we can benefit ourselves and nobody else. Just know that when you have prayed according to God's word, which is His will, it shall be given you. No man can stand in the way of that. God wants to do His word because it is His will, and nothing, no thing, gives Him more pleasure than when you ask Him anything according to His word, because He gets to do His will. You give Him permission to move and show how wonderful He is. He loves that, and given any opportunity, He takes it. In fact, God Himself said in Isaiah 45 verse 11, "Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me." Wow, what a statement. You mean to tell me, Elliot, I can command the hands of God? Hey, he said it, not me. I'm just telling you what he said. But to explain it briefly, when you hold God to his word, you have commanded the work of his hands. Now Jesus said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shalt be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And all we have to do is call on him, and he will answer, and he will give us the victory, and always cause us to triumph. We are living by faith, therefore we do not allow our circumstances to dictate to us who we are, what we can do, or what we can have. We dictate what happens to our circumstances by our words, thoughts, faith, and actions. The favor of God will cause things to move and open doors just for you. God said he would pull one man down and put up another just so his word to you will be fulfilled. He wants you to have perpetual victory, and we are more than conquerors. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. When the kingdom of God works, it works in power. Everything else must bow. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I said I would tell you my testimony about when I first recognized the favor of God in my life. It caused myself and others to marvel and think, what is going on here? I once worked as part of the concierge team at a hotel in London Heathrow Airport, where I was the executive chief of baggage transits. In other words, I was the bellboy. Anyway, I saw the favor of God operating in a major way, and I can pinpoint when this started happening because there was something I used to say when I got up in the morning. And it's important to note that I would say this out loud. And I'll tell you exactly what I said near the end of this recording. And any time I saw the favor of God, I would acknowledge it and say, that's the favor of God. Thank you, Lord. Now here's what used to happen. We used to receive tips for the wonderful service we would provide people with. Now, in my natural ability, I was pretty good at earning a lot of tips. I was a diligent worker, very courteous and sincere, to actually genuinely want to help people, not just take money from them, and I did pretty good. Half the time I earned more tips than anyone else. But when I started saying what I was saying in the morning, very soon I was the highest tip earner on that team, and I would say, conservatively, about 90% of the time. My colleagues wondered why. They asked me, how come all the big tippers keep coming to you? You know, I always seem to be in the right place at the right time with the right people. Now, we used to split our tips. We put them in an envelope, and at the end of the week we would get the money. And I used to put so much in that people thought I put my own money in. Even when it was quiet and nobody else made much, it didn't affect my performance. And I remember there was this Scottish guy who was amazed at the fact that it was quiet with nothing happening and I would still make money. And he couldn't work it out. And he said, I just don't know how you do it. It must be something you say or something you're doing. I just can't understand it. I'm sorry, I know that's a really terrible Scottish accent, but in tough times, the Bible says in Psalms, in the days of famine, you shall be satisfied. Then I saw a second side to God's favor. Not only did it make me the best performer, I actually saw rules and policies changed which benefited me more than anyone else. God changed the rules which had been in place since that hotel had been established on my behalf. Because to be honest, I was grateful that I could be a blessing to the whole team, but I was a little irritated that I was putting so much in the envelope and saw little come back to me in comparison to what I put in. Others weren't putting in half what I put in, and they were getting double what they put in the whole week. In some cases, I was making more money in a day than some people would make in a whole week, which was the favor of God. But after a while, I was irritated. It didn't feel fair. I was making so much money for it to end up in other people's pockets that just weren't as productive. And I spoke to God about it, and I asked him to change the system so those being productive would benefit. Soon after that prayer, the head concierge of the team put a bonus at the end of each week for the highest earner, and I won it practically every week, and it became known as Elliot's bonus. Then he changed the whole structure of the system altogether, where the tips were shared according to how productive you were. So, of course, I benefited in a major way. Then all of a sudden, everyone else started pulling their socks up and started to earn well. And I prayed that the favor that was on me would come on the whole team, but that God's child would always be on top, so God gets the glory. And God did that. And God's favor will work for you in whatever field you are in, regardless of your situation. The same way he took care of me, he will take care of you. The same God is rich to all that call upon him. There are many times people don't recognize that God has put favor on them for a particular opportunity. There is something that they believe God has called them to. An opportunity presents itself, but because they don't have the money, they think the opportunity isn't for them, and they miss out. What God wanted was for you to take a step of faith. He says, "Draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you." In other words, fulfill the obligations required for his promise, and he will make sure he brings it to come to pass. Many times I have seen I wanted something and I didn't have the money at the time, and I'd ask God about it, and I would see the price drop unusually. That is the favor of God. You may still not have the money, but that is a window of opportunity. God may want you to step out in faith and say yes to the opportunity, and then stand in faith for God to do the rest. Do it and watch. God will meet the need. You may not know where it will come from, but it is coming. So go for it. God sees your faith, and that pleases him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The same thing God promised to anybody in Scripture, he promises to you. If that weren't true, he wouldn't have had it recorded for you to read it. He would have just said it to them personally. When you are Christ, you are joint heir with him and his family. You are under the same covenant as everybody else in a family. See Galatians chapter 3. You are God's child. God has no favorites. We are all favored. In Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Now that you know God's favor is available to all, and you know a bit more about what God's favor can do, and by the way, I'm not finished, I will tell you more. Let's learn how to secure God's favor and be secured by God's favor. Let's first deal with how to secure God's favor. Proverbs 11:27 says, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him." Proverbs 12:2 says, "A good man obtains favor from the Lord." Okay, so a good man obtains the favor of the Lord. but what does God class as good? And what can we do to be classed as good and obtain his favor? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If I were you, I would memorize that passage there. There is so much in there which we should be doing daily for things to go well with us. Okay, so we can seek good, trust God, and acknowledge him in everything you do. What else? Seek wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 8 says, exalt her, her being wisdom, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 34 and 35 says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now I want to share a secret with you, because it seems sometimes that God has his favorites. Why are some blessed more than others? Does God really have his favorites? Well, thankfully, the answer to that is no, and you can see from the scriptures that I mentioned that God is no respecter of persons and is rich to all that call upon him. So why is it that some seem to be blessed everywhere they turn? Everything they do, good things keep happening to them. There is a little known secret to this, and the secret is this. God is bound by his word. He has said, only if ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Notice the word if, which is conditional, which means we have to do something, otherwise he can't perform his word for us. Some are obedient and some aren't. That's the secret in a nutshell. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. We are all subject to that if. With any promise in the Bible is a prerequisite, your obedience. Bear Isaiah 1:19 in mind when you look at the promises of God. If we sow obedience after the if, we will be among those whom it seems God is always blessing. Then people will look at what is happening in your life and will wonder, how come they are so blessed and I'm not? And then you can tell them what I told you. Obedience obtains favor. I can guarantee the more obedient you are to God's commandments, the more favor you will see in your life. It's really that simple. I'm giving you what you need to know here, but it's up to you to make the decision to do it consistently. God won't have you waiting long. The time will come when everywhere you turn, the favor of God just runs into you. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 to 2 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured. Obedience obtains favor, and disobedience stops it. Here are some biblical pointers that will really help you. Solve problems for others. If you want continuous favor, sow seeds of favor continuously into the lives of others, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Pray for others. Do you remember all the terrible things that happened to Job? Well, look what happened when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I have a favor tip for you. Always be grateful, recognize and value and acknowledge God whenever favor is being shown to you. Do this, trust me, you will have favor on top of favor, multiplied. You just learned how you can secure God's favor. Now I want to show you what you can do to be secured by God's favor. If God be for us, who can be against us? But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. God will bless and favor you by covering you with a shield when you are in right standing with him. Men cannot stop favor being shown to you. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth. And shutteth, and no man openeth. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. God becomes an enemy to your enemies. Now I said I would tell you more about what God's favor can do for you, and I haven't forgotten. I want to talk about favor with God and man. I've heard people say if you have favor with God, you don't need favor with anyone else. And it's true to a degree, but you do need favor with God and man. If that wasn't true, then God wouldn't have said, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Think about the Israelites. God gave them favor with men. If God wants to promote you at your place of work, he has to give you favor in the sight of men. God influences men to do things for you. Though it was God blessing me at the hotel I was working in, he blessed me through people. He had to give me favor in their sight. I also received a lot because I was a giver. And Jesus said, give and it shall be given you. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God gives you favor in the sight of men. Favor with man is important. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, although God will open all sorts of doors for you, don't be naive and think everybody you come in contact with has your best interests at heart. So be prepared to walk into people who will make promises that they won't keep. God, on the other hand, will keep his promises, and he will send someone to you who does keep their word. There are good people who do want to help others and will if you give them a good enough reason. This is why it's important to honor your word. When you prove yourself worthy of trust, people will not hesitate to make introductions to other people that can help you, because they know you won't be an embarrassment to them and or jeopardize their influence and reputation in their circle of associates. Your word is your bond. people respect you and are likely to do repeat transactions with you when you are known for honoring your word. So treat people with respect. Everybody matters. Never take any person in your network for granted. They could be crucial to your success. Maybe not today, but later. People are often connected to the very people you need. So respect people and maintain good relationships. One thing I learned to do is always act as if somebody is watching you. And somebody always is. So keep your word. Consistently exhibit actions congruent with the values you say are important to you, whether somebody is watching or not. People want to know that you are the same person publicly as you are in private. Also, conduct yourself in an ethical and appropriate manner for every environment in all you do, and you will benefit with favorable consequences. And then just watch how your network and sphere of influence multiplies rapidly. Here's another thing. Unless you feel a strong conviction from within, never be afraid to take the help people offer you. And when you do, always give them thanks and acknowledge them when credit is due to them, especially when someone commends you for doing something well and somebody else helped you to do it. Make sure you inform the person who is commending you that you wouldn't have been able to do it without the help of the individual who is due credit. Don't take all the credit. It's upsetting to the individual who worked so hard for you to take all the glory. What you sow, you will reap. So give credit where it is due and do good in privacy. The Lord will exalt you in due time and reward you publicly. Now this is really important. Don't serve or do good to people just for a reward. Do things from the genuine desire to be a blessing to people from a humble heart. And when someone helps you do something, always reward them with a token of your appreciation with a sincere note of thanks accompanying it. People will speak well of you and God will bring you to their mind when they meet someone who will be a blessing to you. Continuing on what the favor of God does for you, God's favor makes divine connections. God has a plan and purpose for your life, and he has placed it in the desire of your heart. That is why Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart." God will send people to open doors for you and will create what I like to call divine connections. So the good news is this. You don't have to suck up to people in the hope that they will help you out. Secular people are especially susceptible to this idea, and they call it brown nosing. Look, you don't need to bother with that. Only do good to people because you want to bless them, and because you do all things as unto the Lord, God will exalt you in due time. And people know when you're sucking up to them. They don't like it, and it's nauseating. And God has already decided who he will use to help you. God will make them think that it is their idea to bless you. Often they won't even know the real reason for which they're helping you out, but they are being used of God for his divine plan. They'll just feel an intuitive nudge to help you, which they won't be able to resist. It will just keep bugging them until they act on it. And God doesn't have any problem using anyone to help you, including your enemies. He will use them and their knowledge and their finance to help you. God will use people of great influence to endorse you, and that could lead to favor with millions of people, even if your reputation has been damaged by someone else or you yourself, who were horrible before, but you are now a reformed character. God will send the right person at the right time. As I said, God has plans for you and his word won't return void. If he has to speak plans about you and you are willing and obedient, they have to happen. God sees only the objective and all obstacles must give way. Jesus wanted to use Paul to reach people. Now, if you know anything about Paul, he had a bad reputation as Saul. Is anything too hard for God? No. Jesus didn't see that as an obstacle. He could have used anybody else. somebody people actually liked, perhaps, but he wanted to use a man who was persecuting Christians, and Saul was converted to Christ and was called Paul. But when he tried to do what God had asked of him, he found it difficult getting Christians to trust him because of his reputation when he was Saul. People were still afraid of him and wouldn't listen to him. But that didn't matter to Jesus. Why? Because he foreordained Saul. The Lord used a man called Barnabas who had enough influence to persuade people to trust Paul was a servant of God. This is what the Lord said to Barnabas. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Barnabas took him, Paul, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Jesus provided a man of influence to endorse Paul, and even today, Paul has favor in our sight. So, when there is something God has given you to do, when it looks like there is no way, God has already planned a way. What he has given you to do is his purpose, so he has already seen to it that there is a way. When God has something planned for you, you may not even be in the lineup in the minds of men. In the minds of men, you may seem insignificant, but God wants you for a particular thing and he will have you. He creates the way. David was in the field when Samuel was looking for the king amongst Jesse's son, but God wanted David and he got David. Now, although God makes divine connections, that doesn't make you exempt from doing anything. You have your part to play. Sometimes connections don't just cross your path. Sometimes you need to approach connections. I would like to suggest to you that whenever you see somebody in your field, whether it be at a conference or a meeting, remember that you are highly favored of God, and with that in mind, never let that person walk out of your presence without introducing yourself to them. Also remember, you are not looking to that person as your source of success. God is. But that relationship, God willing, could be a divine connection God is putting together, and you won't know unless you approach them and introduce yourself. So seize the opportunity. Some relationships will come from others introducing you to other people, or people actually introducing themselves. But don't always rely on that, thinking, if God wants it to be, he will make them approach me. We often want God to give us visible signs that he wants us to move, but he speaks to us via our spirit with his Holy Spirit from within. So when you feel the urge to know somebody or introduce yourself, be forthcoming and say, Hi, my name is... Don't worry about what you need to say. Approach the person of interest in faith and trust me, when you show God honor in trust and move forward, the right words will come. First say hello to them and tell them your name, who you are, and then ask them questions about themselves. People love talking about themselves, so just let them talk. Show them genuine interest and an admiration for what they do. And long before the conversation runs dry, exchange business cards with that person. And make sure you make contact with them within a week of meeting them to touch base with them. See how they are, how things are going. If something doesn't spark up immediately, and there are no transactions taking place between you, don't worry. Make contact with that person once every 6 months to touch base with them, and don't just contact them when you want something. Also, see if there's anything that you can do to help them, and let them know if they need anything and they think you can assist them, let them know you are willing. Sometimes we think that if we do everything right, everything will fall into place. And what I've realized is that what is supposed to fall into place will fall into place. But don't neglect to approach others and don't rely on others approaching you. And keep in contact with those people you establish connections with. Otherwise, you could be missing out on favor from on high, where God is establishing a special relationship between you and that person. All the breakthroughs you have in life, without a single exception, will evolve other people, and the right relationships are the key to success. Nobody is self-made. Nobody. Even if you are the one person in a business, you still have relationships with customers, suppliers, affiliates, etc. You need people and you need God. Don't rely on others to approach you. He who waits for fortune, dinner is never sure. Keep yourself surrounded with good people and trust their judgment, or you'll never get anywhere in life. Now I have another favor tip for you. If you want divine connections, be a seed sower of connections for others. God could be using you to hook somebody else to somebody else. And when you need a big break, God has people in place of your path to meet you and promote you. I want to share one final thing with you. This is something I do every day, and it's the same thing I did which got the favor of God working when I worked at Heathrow Airport. These are the words I used to say every morning. They're the same words that I have shared with close friends, and every one of them that started saying these words has experienced it work for them. Every one without exception. It will work anywhere for anyone. Question. Will you live if you breathe oxygen in the US? Yes. Okay, how about Japan? Yeah. Well, what about in the UK? Well, I can answer that one because I live here. Yes. Here's a tricky one. Will you live if you breathe the oxygen in the North Pole? I doubt you have ever even been there, but I bet you already know the answer is yes. How are you able to answer correctly to all these questions? Because you know that oxygen anywhere will give the same benefit for anyone, any time. Well, the laws of God are the same, and I believe there is a law governing the favor of God. And just like you only need breathe oxygen to benefit from it, if you want the favor of God in your life, all you have to do is this. Declare God's favor over your life daily. And that is it. I personally do this every day, and it seems to work pretty well. I say this before I leave my house. I am highly favored of God. God's favor goes before me and surrounds me, opening doors no man can shut, changing rules and policies on my behalf. That's all I say. I also have an additional favor tip to add to your arsenal. I have a notebook I call Astonished by Favor, and every time I'm astonished by favor, I write it down. You may want to get one to document all the times God astonishes you. In doing this, you will recall all the times in the past when God's favor was with you, and it will make you confident He will be with you in the future. You will come to a place where you just expect favor to show up, and it will. Now commit to doing this daily. Do it and watch what happens. Expect God to provide you with special privileges and advantages. And when you experience God's favor, acknowledge it. Say to yourself, that's the favor of God. Thank Him for it, and let God know you appreciate Him for who He is and what He has done. Let me tell you, anything you praise God for, He will multiply in your life. Let others know when they see good things happen to you that it is the favor of God. Do it so the Father may be glorified. God loves you so much and is so adamant about having His will come to pass for you. He will have a person impeached from their position and put up another in your nation's government if that is what is necessary for Him to get what He wants done through you. So if there is a man standing in your way, remember, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As God was with Moses, so He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. God will do for you what he did for Moses. God is no respecter of persons, and he will do more on top because now he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen and amen. Praise God for his goodness. Now be sure to write to me and tell me what God does for you. Email me at mytestimony@faithboosters.com. With your permission, I would love to read your experience recorded on video and posted up online. One, to give God the glory, and two, to give encouragement and inspiration and empowerment to others. So be sure to include your first name and location, and you should be able to see it on www.godanswersyes.com/testimoniesgalore.html. You can tell your friends and family about it. You can watch it together, and it will be wonderful to know your experience of God's goodness will be seen by others all around the world. Anyway, that's my time. I'm going to go. You have been wonderful. I'm Elliot Odor, and I'll catch up with you later.